See, it's hard to. Can't see how to mute you all anymore.
We can do it.
Can you do it?
Mute yourself.
Participants. Have you got participants?
Yeah, but it's not there.
Oh.
I could remove you from the toolbar. I can invite you, but that little thing that says participants is and mute all is not there. Right, we'll carry on regardless and see what happens. You're very welcome, everybody, on this fifth Sunday of Easter as we worship God together. O Lord, open our lips,
And our
and our
mouth
mouths
shall
shall proclaim
glorify
your
your praise.
praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. Loving God, you have chosen us to be your people. Each one of us is precious and loved by you. As we worship you now, join us together and build us into a house where everyone can belong. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You call us out of darkness to live in your marvelous light. Let us say sorry to God for all the times we have failed to live in the light of Christ. Loving God, we are sorry for the times we have failed to live as your people, putting our own needs above the needs of others. Forgive us, restore us, support us, and strengthen us, that we may live holy lives and together be built into your holy house where everyone can belong. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God forgives us. God loves us. God welcomes us back to live as God's holy people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And Helen has our first reading for us.
Our first reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be
Thanks
to God.
be to God.
And our psalm, our verse is taken from Psalm 31. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Glory to the Father,
Glory
and
to
to the
the
Son,
Father, and to the Son,
and to the
and to the
Holy
Holy
Spirit,
Spirit,
as it
as
was
it
in the
was in the
beginning,
beginning,
is
is now,
now, and shall
and
be
shall be
forever.
forever. Amen.
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 And Helen has our gospel reading.
Our second reading is taken from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not see him. You do know him and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
Thanks be to
God.
God.
If you've ever seen the musical West Side Story, you might recall the wonderful song Somewhere, which repeats the line, There's a place for us. The musical is based on Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, one of my favourite plays, a story about two young people from warring social groups who fall in love. Both feel out of place with where they've come from and face further alienation and rejection because of their desire to be together. Sometimes it's easy to feel out of place, to feel as if you don't belong, to somehow feel different from the people around you. I think this is particularly true when we are young. The need to belong, to be part of a group, to know who your tribe is, which seems to be the popular way of describing it these days, is very important. I can well remember the feeling of being out of place, and then the temptation to say or do something which would make me acceptable as one of the gang, but really just wasn't me. And then, when I was a single parent, a divorcee, and in church, surrounded by families who all appeared so enthusiastic about being in church, while mine were planning out and out rebellion, I felt completely out of place. The words of the song Somewhere are a wonderful summary of the Christian call to live differently. It says, we'll find a new way of living, we'll find a way of forgiving somewhere. In our reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter is speaking of the church being a special people set apart for God. Peter tells his readers that to be a follower of Jesus Christ, Christians must grow together as well as individually. In fact, he seems so thrilled and excited by this thought that he mixes his metaphors, but the argument is easy to follow. Firstly, Peter reminds us that Jesus is the living stone. He is the one we are built upon. He is our cornerstone. And yet, Jesus was rejected. From his birth through his ministry and to his death, Jesus wasn't given a place to be. Remember what Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus was rejected by the religious authorities, by the Roman rulers. He was even rejected by those closest to him. Peter reminds us that Jesus overcame that rejection to become the cornerstone on which the church is built, and that it is built with living stones, and that means us. Because of Jesus' rejection, death, and resurrection, we can now be God's special people, set apart together. There's a place for every one of us. The more we spend time with Jesus, worshipping, meditating on scripture, and praying to him, the more we will become like him. We will become living stones. Of course, by itself, a stone is of little use, but joined with others, it becomes part of a building, a bigger structure. A living stone has a purpose to become part of the whole. Peter then turns his attention from the structure, and we may guess he was thinking about the temple, to those who work in that building. At the beginning of the passage, Peter talks about new Christians needing to grow spiritually, just as a newborn baby needs to grow physically. But very quickly, he shifts his thinking to a picture of community, where each living stone has its appointed place to create a new building, a new temple held together by Christ, the cornerstone. Peter also borrows images from the Old Testament. Isaiah 28, verse 16 says, "Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken." And Psalm 118 says, "The stone the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." Peter's listeners and readers would also pick up additional cues. Around the time this letter was written, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans after a long siege, and the tradition of sacrifice in Judaism ended. It was a devastating moment for God's people. But Peter explains that God is building them into a new temple where people can meet God, not through sacrificing animals as before, but through spiritual sacrifices of prayer, service, and worship offered by a royal priesthood and a holy nation. This language borrows from Exodus, where God sets Israel apart, and it's a stunning claim. Christians from Gentile and Jewish backgrounds become both the temple and its priests, standing in the gap between non-believers and God. They maintain the tradition of sacrifice, the sacrifice to proclaim God's forgiveness, salvation, and love. Peter emphasizes that every Christian is needed in this living stone network of God's people. Recalling Hosea's renaming of his children and Isaiah's image of people in darkness seeing a great light, Peter concludes that this new identity is given for the purpose of proclamation. They must share the good news of the mighty acts of God. In other words, our responsibility as members of God's spiritual household, as a royal priesthood, as part of a holy nation, is twofold: to worship and to witness. The Word of God, either written as the Bible or living as Jesus, the Word made flesh, is the foundation on which we build. As believers in Jesus Christ, Peter tells us that we can claim the promises made in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 to 6. Now, if you obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples of the earth, for all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. And in Isaiah chapter 43, but forget all that, it is nothing compared with what I am going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. It's exactly the argument Paul uses in Romans chapter 9. This means that anyone who faces rejection or loneliness from the world can and should find a place to belong in God's church. That might feel like a challenge to us. As with the gangs in West Side Story, we can prefer to be with people we know or who seem to be most like us, or we can assume that those from other social groups won't want to be around us. But God's church is made up of all of us, misfits who follow the way of this countercultural Messiah. We, you and I, are God's own people. We are called to proclaim God's works and demonstrate his grace, mercy, and love. Perhaps as we think about the call to be this chosen people, a royal priesthood, we might consider how we might create a place where there is space for all of us and all who hunger for belonging. Peter encourages Christian communities in their new identity as living stones built together like a new temple, supported by Jesus, the cornerstone. The believers should keep on trusting and praising God, who has shown them light and mercy. I read this week that a person who collects rocks and stones from the natural environment is often called a fossicker. I'd never heard that word before. Sometimes we can look at rocks or stones and only see something ordinary. Fossickers would say that each rock or each stone has its own beauty. However, There are much sought-after rocks that hold hidden beauty, such as opals and thunder eggs. These rocks look like ordinary rocks on the outside, and it's only when they are cracked or cut open that their inner beauty is revealed. I don't know about you, but sometimes, in fact, quite a lot of the time, I feel like a plain, ordinary stone, unable to be a living stone. But when God looks at us, he values each one of us as precious, made to be part of his church and to build something for his glory. Like the church in 1 Peter, we might question our place in the world and how we navigate life and all its complexities. This week, we learn that even amid our doubts and fears, God has a place for us. Peter spells it out loud and clear. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. We, me, you, we are the people of God, not someone who's got it all together. Let's face it, no one's got it all together. But we are the people of God together. Let each one of us is valuable and essential member of the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. Let us praise and thank God for one another as he calls us and uses us as his living stones. Amen.
Amen.
And Helen has our intercessions for us.
God of light and love, may the beauty of your peace encircle the peoples of the earth and fill our prayer with hope. Let your face shine upon us and upon the world. Save us in
Save
your
us in
steadfast
your
love.
steadfast love.
God of light and love, you have called us to live together in community, sharing what we have and carrying each other's burdens. May we walk faithfully where you lead us, and may our actions show your love in the world. We pray for the small and big choices that lie ahead for us this week, and ask that we would honour you in the ordinary things of life, knowing that you are with us always. We pray that you would surround all who are struggling or feeling alone with your presence and peace. Let your face shine upon us and upon the world. Save us in your steadfast love. God of light and love, we bring to you the places in our world where the darkness of war casts its shadows over people's lives. We pray today for Ukraine, for the Middle East, for Gaza, for South Sudan, and ask for just and lasting solutions to the long-running conflict. Give us persistence in prayer, hope in believing that peace will come, and trust in your promise that you make all things new. Let your face shine upon us and upon your world. Save us in your
Blessed in your
steadfast love.
steadfast love.
God of light and love, you hold our lives in your hand. We pray for all who are in distress, pain, or trouble. In the quiet, we name those we know who need to know your protection today. Be close to all who suffer and surround them with tender care, including those of us struggling within our Zoom family. And today we pray for the sick, for Steph, for Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Elizabeth, Joy, Tony, Brian, Margaret T, Nigel, Audrey, Sharon, John P, John L, Richard, Kathy, Bob, Oliver, and we also hold in our hearts Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And we very much pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died. Herbert Smith, Linda Taylor, Ian Russell, Brian Wedlake, Derek Long, and Maurice Cockerell. May we, your church, be a protecting space for those who are battered by life, and a place of healing and hope in a troubled and divided world. Let your face shine upon us and upon your world. Save us in your steadfast love. God of light and love, may the beauty of your peace encircle us and fill our homes and our hearts today and always. Let your face shine upon us and upon the world. Save us in your steadfast love. Amen.
Amen.
And the collect for the day. Risen Christ, your wounds declare your love for the world and the wonder of your risen life. Give us compassion and courage to risk ourselves for those we serve, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May God, who loves you and has chosen you, strengthen you to live as God's holy people, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you and those you love and pray for this day and always. Amen.
Amen.
May we know that God loves us and has chosen us. May we be built into a holy people where everyone can belong. And may we know God's blessing this day and evermore. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Helen.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Angela, would it be all right for us to put Jemima on our prayer list?
Yes, that's very kind. She's in the early stages of having to go on a drip for 6 hours in a hospital for potassium, and then they check her again, so it seems, and then she has to go in again. We just are struggling to know what to do, or at least I am. That's very kind, Steph. Thank you.
Okay, well, we will do that. Nobody will know who she is, so we will do that. And put her down the prayer chain as well,
That's really kind.
as it were. Okay.
Thank you, Abu.
It's lovely to be with you. Actually, as I was taking this service, could you pray for me on Thursday? I've got a funeral, which is going to take up most of the day. And I've just suddenly only recently realized it's at Mortchard Bishop, which of course was one of Robert's
Yeah.
churches, and that actually it's the place that we found him when he'd had his stroke. I haven't been back really since then. So just pray for me that I will be able, won't get that what that emotion won't impact
It'll be
on what I'm doing.
there.
Anyway,
We'll pray for
thank you
you.
very much. Anyway,
Yes,
thank you. Thank you
indeed.
so much for your
And
company and
then
your friendship and
yes.
for being a living stone.
Oh, bless you.
And
Bless you.
we're all stoned.
I hope it all goes well now at Calverley, Steph.
Yeah, thank you. I
Good.
was saying probably
Yeah.
before you arrived that I thought the family had told me that she was going to. This is a bishop who's baptizing her child at Calverley. She's a bishop in Canada, and the family had told me she'd be very low key and she was just coming as granny. I spoke to her yesterday afternoon, and she said, "Oh, I've packed my chasuble and my mitre," and I wasn't
Oh.
really expecting that. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I'll let
Take
you know.
some photos on your
Yeah.
phone.
Yes, we want
Lots
those.
of love. God
Yeah,
bless.
all the
Bye
best.
bye.
Bye. Bye,
Bye.
everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.